Welcome to MIT CIO Sloan Symposium. We hope you're enjoying all the conversations you have joined so far. This afternoon, we're going to bring another lively discussion about inventing the digital workspace. Our distinguished panels are going to discuss how the advent of BYOD, social media, or the incredible outreach we have in terms of connecting people or connecting with your customers or outside, inside, within the organization, how is this changing the digital workplace landscape? And what does it mean, basically, for the CIOs to work on building the talents of the people and how the current work arrangements have been constantly challenged with these rolling out new technologies or something that is being disruptive out there and that's being brought into the corporate workspace. And this panel today is being moderated by Christine Dury. Christine is a research scientist at MIT CISR in Sydney. She has published several academic and industrial papers with the most focused on mobile connectivity. Her research focus area is the intersection of human resource management and information systems. She has co-founded and co-chairs CISR Digital Disruption Work Group in Sydney. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Christine Dury and the panel. Thank you.
Thanks, Sastry. I forgot to check on my little clicker. All right, so thank you so very, very much for coming today. There's a lot of competition in this segment, and I was wondering if the panel and I would just be talking to each other. But we are thrilled to have you here because it means that all of you think that this is an important topic. And I have to tell you, I think this is one of the most important topics. And it's very exciting that we now have the opportunity to bring a lot of things together that I've been studying for many years around IT and HR, and bringing that combination together in order to fuel a lot of the capabilities that we need in our organization to be able to enact value and get value out of the things that we do, particularly around IT. So the interesting thing about the digital workplace is that we keep asking ourselves, well, what are we actually talking about here? And that's a fair question. So we at CISA, Center for Information Systems Research, and this is us, we're made up of many wonderful sponsors, many of whom are in this room today. The thing that we found really interesting about topics to study is that's really useful when people don't actually know very much about defining the area. One, it's useful because we typically are the ones that have got most to say about it. But secondly, it's useful because we start to frame what we mean by this topic. And that's great for being able to engage in it in new and interesting ways. So I am from Australia, as you can probably hear from my accent. I am, as far as I know, and CISA knows, the only MIT person in Australia. So before you think that MIT have suddenly built a great Sydney campus, we have not done that, but we do have me, and I look after the many Australian sponsors we have who are very engaged with work that we do here at MIT. And we have about 50% of our sponsors actually are global, and I find that very exciting because I think it's much more of a global world that we live in, and with MIT at the center of some of this research, that places us in a very exciting position. But let's move on to what we have to talk about. So what we said was, we went to a whole lot of industry partners and we said, what is it? How do you think about the digital workplace? What is it that excites you? And they said things like this. They said, well, it's about innovation, collaboration. It's about connecting people. It's about finding different ways to work. It's about new spaces. It's about data. It's about Internet of Things, about a whole lot of things. So this was interesting to us because this reflected really what we're seeing in the digital world or the world of digital, the era of digital. What we see in that thing is what we see is two things, two very clear things that are easy for us to then understand what we're talking about in the digital workplace. The first thing is that our customers are becoming much more demanding around the types of services and products that we deliver. No longer can we work in siloed ways we've always worked around products and services. We need to bring things together. So we're linking things. We're combining things. We're making things more specified to the needs of our customers as opposed to separate products. So that's the first thing. There's a whole lot of complexity, added complexity, about the types of products and services we need to deliver. The second key thing is, that makes all of this relevant, is that in order to do that, we can't work in this siloed way. We have to work across the enterprise. We have to break through those silos, and we have to be able to talk seamlessly across the organization. So these things start to make sense. We've got to be more collaborative. We've got to make more connections. We've got to find more ways to bring people together. We've got a very complex world that we're operating in, and somehow we've got to be able to create a workplace that enables all of those things to happen. Well, all of that sounds very complicated and difficult, and in fact it is, and most of the people we talk about a lot of the difficulties they're having. The poll that we did, in fact, reflected exactly that. We're seeing pilots. A lot of people working, trying out different things across their organization and trying to learn from those things and then implement them at a wider level. A lot of involvement by different people in the organization. Some of these things are facilities-led. Some of these things are IT-led. Some of these things, not as many, are HR-led. But there tends to be a multiplicity of people leading these things. There doesn't seem to be much integration and a lot of piloted activity. Well, here's the good news. I think that if we change the way in which we start to think about this, then there's an opportunity to be able to engage with it in a much more effective way. One of the participants in our study said, you know what, when we start to think about this, we switch it around. We do what lots of people do in digital. We say, listen, the old models don't really give us much insight. Instead of talking about the workforce, let's switch that. Let's talk about the force of work. And if we talk about the force of work, we start to think about where work is done, how it's done, by whom, where this force is coming from that's enabling us to deliver these more complex products in different ways. The good thing is we only have to think about three things when we think about the force of work. We have to think about what we can leverage from partners in an external way. We talked about platforms this morning, for those of you who are at that session, how we are able to build platforms to be able to engage with external partners. We talk about machines, robotics, automation, all of those things. We've been talking about the Internet of Things here in the last session. And for those of you who were at Eric Brynjolfsson's session this morning, we talked a lot about robotics and interesting things that are going on that enable us to do new things in the workplace. And then we talk in the internal workplace. What we're going to focus on here when we think about the digital workplace, when we start to think about how we focus our attention, it's around what's going on with our people in the internal workplace. We need to take these other two things into account. But the way in which we engage with those other two things is about how we build that internal workplace. So, for example, if we're bringing a lot of partners or consultants on board, we need to have easy onboarding systems. We need to have flexible workspaces so that they can work with our project teams. But we need to engage with the design and how we think of the workspace, whether it be virtual or physical, within our own internal surrounds. So that's how we're thinking about the digital workplace and some of the challenges that surround that. When we think about those challenges, we're thinking about space, we're thinking about technologies, we're thinking about how people work, where people work, why we have different people on board into different projects and different activities within our workplace. So I have with me today a wonderful panel of people who are going to help us do this. And before I introduce them, though, I'm going to make one last statement that is really crucial, I think, to guiding some of the decision-making that we make around the digital workplace. Because for me, there is one clear principle that really guides a lot of this, and that is within this complexity, within all the things that we need to do in order to produce ideas, to produce products, to produce services that engage customers in new and different ways across digital, we have to deal with a much more complex array of things in our organization. And if we don't make that simple, if we don't make that easy for people to do, then we're going to have a disengaged workforce, we're going to have problems getting the talent that we need for digital, and we're going to really struggle to deliver a lot of that collaboration, connectivity, interactivity that we require in order to be able to deliver value in a digital era. So, with that, with having said that, my last final comment, I'm going to introduce my panel. And we're very fortunate to have with us some very valued guests. First of all, we have, I haven't even got them in order. Suresh from BNY Mellon. My apologies that this is not in order. David from State Street. David Saul from State Street. We've got Dan O'Halloran from the Advisory Board. Thanks, Dan, for coming. And finally, we have Andy from Microsoft. So all of these people have done some really interesting things across the digital workplace, and we're grateful to have you here. And we hope that we're going to have a very engaging discussion this afternoon, thinking about some more of these issues that we've just talked about. So with that, I will take a seat. Suresh, perhaps I could address you first. And at BNY Mellon, you've done a lot of very interesting and engaging things. What's been sort of one of the most important workplace initiatives that you've done, and why was that important to you?
So you know, it's on a couple of dimensions. One is the physical workplace, and the other one is more around the culture. So in the physical workplace, you know, we basically have created what we call innovation centers. We have them in Silicon Valley, Jersey City, in Pune and Chennai. And we're in the process of creating more in London, Pittsburgh, and Syracuse. And the whole idea was to make it easy for people to collaborate and have cross-disciplinary teams working together to make things happen. We basically got rid of all the offices and have, you know, most of them as conference rooms, and got rid of all the cubicles that used to be mile high and people used to just vanish. Now it's all just tables. And, you know, for the most part, you know, it makes it a lot easier for people to create things in an agile fashion. The other aspect of this is, you know, historically, you know, we had a large number of teams that built technology for employees. So you would have someone doing desktop, someone doing email, someone doing instant messaging or IP telephony or, you know, Wi-Fi or whatever. And all of them, most of their focus was about end of life. You need to upgrade this new technology. Not necessarily think about what does it mean from an employee perspective. So we kind of wanted to say, hey, if we were to run this like a startup, and if you were to adopt a lean startup methodology or design thinking methodology, you know, how would you approach it, right? Because a lot of times when we think of customers, we think of the external customers, not necessarily our own employees. But in our case, you know, we are close to 54,000 employees, and every percent of productivity that we can get from them, you know, it makes a huge difference to us. So we kind of got them to say, you know, what is the objective looking across all of them? And you know, we transferred them from being a technology person, manager, offering a service to more of a product manager. And you know, we came up with, okay, some other higher priority for us is to improve collaboration across employees, improve communication, improve knowledge management. And then we kind of work backwards. You know, what does it mean to offer all these services in a cohesive way? And even more important, you know, how do you actually measure success, right? Because the way we used to measure success is, and we literally had 100 plus projects, and as long as you got the projects done on time, on budget, you know, you declare success. But you know, now they, you know, if the moment you say, well, you know, whatever it is that we did and whatever amount that we spent, did it really improve collaboration? You know, it's kind of a tougher conversation because most people can't even understand, you know, what do you mean? How do you measure that? So I think that's been a journey that we had. And one of the ways we tried to show progress is we literally measured the employee experience. So be it the internet connectivity or login time or how long does it take for, you know, Outlook to come up. And in many cases, the way we used to upgrade PCs, you know, used to be based on when the PC comes off the books. And that kind of decided who got the new PC, to now we actually had a way of measuring What is the actual experience of an employee with the PC? So it's possible a senior executive who doesn't really use the PC, they tend to be traveling most of the time, didn't get the new one. Instead, the person maybe, you know, who is in operations and they're using the PC all day long, and they needed the, you know, faster upgrade. So the concept of dividing the employees into personas so that you have an idea, okay, these are people who tend to travel a lot, they're not at the work, and they need a different technology than someone, you know, who tends to be there 9 to 5 all day long, to someone who tend to work from home. So it's really, you know, making sure instead of just rolling out a new technology is how do we build solutions for the different personas, and then how do we actually measure success?
So Suresh, can I just prod you a little bit more on that? It seems that we used to give out technology and think about office space and a lot of the characteristics of the workplace based on hierarchy.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is this is a way to open this up, yeah, and make decisions based on the value that you're providing to the organization, the tools that you need in order to be able to deliver that value. Has that been problematic culturally in your organization?
Oh, yeah. Meaning I think some of my direct reports were not too happy with the fact that they're not going to have offices. And when I told them, you know, I'm going to be sitting on a table just like everyone else, I think seemed to solve that problem. I think that the thing that we find it fascinating is when we get a new employee, doesn't matter what level, either right out of a campus or an experienced employee, when they see the space, to them this doesn't feel like a bank. You know, this feels like a startup and they have no problem. You know, so I think what we have found is the ability to attract and retain talent is a lot better. And it does make a difference in terms of, you know, I'm shocked at how often that, you know, we would be in my former location and I would literally go, you know, it's our own building, an elevator, I didn't even know who worked in technology or other groups. You know, now we have the ability to, you know, co-locate people and invite clients so we can co-create on things. It kind of changes the whole game. You know, when we go talk about digital disruption and what it means to us and for our clients, you know, there is a believability because of we're just not talking, we're actually living it.
Okay, great.
Just adding a comment to that. I think you said something, Suresh, that's really important. That's that you're sitting in the same place, right, with the same desk structure. And so my team, we moved to we call it Workplace Advantage at Microsoft, but it's a similar concept where we've really moved to a neighborhood structure. There's no hard walls between people anymore. It's a super collaborative environment, but it's set up where you've got your engineers, your program managers, your business managers, all your service engineers all sitting together in the same neighborhood who are working on the same project. And all of our desks are on rollers, and so we can actually move around pretty easily. But the whiteboards in that area, they get to stay the whiteboards in that area. You know, you get to write and not have to erase things. We have actually team rooms and focus rooms that are dedicated just to that neighborhood that aren't reservable by other people, which is really nice. So they're always available for those teams to do their stand-ups. And we still have regular conference rooms that you can check, but it would be really bad if I were sitting somewhere different in a hard office when everybody's sitting on the floor. I've done it for a year now and I've grown to absolutely love it. It's just a vibrant culture, and you know, you get in there not too early. Microsoft doesn't start too early, but you get in there around 11. There's a vibrant buzz from everybody just working hard. Yeah.
So, Andy, you've been doing this for quite a long time at Microsoft. What are some of the hiccups you've had? Some of the speed bumps, and how have you learned from those?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've started, you know, down the digital path years ago, and I guess we just talked about it and assumed that it would just stick, and that was a mistake, and we actually started, you know, bottoms up, and that was a mistake, and so we had a reset a couple years ago where we said, hey, you know, we're gonna really take digital to a new level, and I'll start with just going paperless. You know, that was really our first big foray into digital. And you know, just looking around in the audience this morning, there was a lot of people still writing on, you know, with pen and paper. You know, Microsoft, you're not going to see that very often anymore. We don't, you know, it used to be that people would print out hard copies of PowerPoints and then project on the screen at the same time, right? And it's like, oh, that seems silly. And so we don't do that anymore. So there's never any paper in our meetings. But that had to be top-down driven. And so you had to, you know, the exec had to stand up and say, hey, don't bring copies anymore because I'm not going to read them. You're wasting time. And actually, we had to be really firm on that. We had to remove the printers from our buildings, right? So we used to have 6 printers on every floor, and now we have 1, and you have to badge swipe in to get your printout. And so it started top-down, but there's other learnings too. I would say, if you remember the platform session this morning, what's the currency that I forget which speaker was talking about it, but he said the currency is data, right? He was talking about data as the new currency for platforms of the future. I totally agree, and I would say it's not just an external view, it's an internal view too. So Suresh, you were talking about being able to measure the effectiveness of change. That's just vital. But that's easier when you're moving to new technology or moving to new service that already has that capability built in, or you're imagining how to measure success from the onset, right? It's hard to retrofit instrumentation into code that's already written, right? And to build the telemetry you need to really understand if things are effective or not after the fact. Now, we're doing it, but that's been hard for us. And so, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but I'd love to go back to some of those projects we started where we didn't consider the instrumentation and telemetry from the onset. In fact, my teams now just know, hey, that's the number one feature for whatever it is we're going to go build, is you're going to instrument the code so we can get the right telemetry out, which, by the way, it affords us a great conversation to have with our business partners, and that's what is the success criteria. So if we don't agree on what the success criteria is, we're never going to be able to measure it, and we're never going to get the detail we want out of the system. But so we measure all kinds of things. So we just got done rolling out CRM online to all of our sellers across the world. Now we have the ability to determine if they are getting time back in their schedule. And if they're not getting time back, is it because they're spending time in the tool because it allows them to be a better seller? Are they using some of the apps that we've made available? So you can imagine every seller or consultant or support person at Microsoft, they have their own app portal, and we light up certain things for them that are applicable to their persona. Yeah. And that's really important. You got to be able to measure the impact of that work. And so that was a hard learning for us, because we really didn't have that anywhere across our portfolio. It was generally the loudest voice in the room, controlled what features and functionality we built into our software. And if we made Joe or Jane happy, then that was good, and that's how we measured success. In fact, that was our key measure at the time in IT, was the customer, the business partner satisfaction score was, right. Was Christine happy because she told me to go build this, not was the right. Not my users.
Yeah, and I know one of the things that we did was, once we started measuring, that you started finding out that you spent a lot of time and money doing something, but then you people don't actually use them. So we kind of created what we call My Dashboard, so every employee gets that. And we kind of now have an invoice for technology consumed by each of our employees. So we kind of rolled that out for everyone in technology. The whole idea is you can actually see, okay, how many emails you received, send forwarded, how does it compare to others in BNY Mellon, what's your T&E bill, or one of the things we are also now adding is printing, So whatever we want people to know in terms of resource consumption, time spent on something, that they can actually look at what they're doing as well as everything else. I think, this whole idea of, the previous thing about Internet of Things and with Apple Watch and all that, I think people are just going to get the idea that there's a lot of information available that wasn't there before,
right,
that they can actually do something about instead of wondering, well, here's the company strategy, what can I do to help? Well, now we're actually giving them all kinds of information to say, well, these are all things we can do something about.
And this is the nirvana we've been looking for, isn't it? Yeah. When we start to think about the productivity within our own workplaces, yeah, is how do we prove that things are, in fact, adding value, yeah, when we do things in the workplace, when we strip out all of the walls and create open plan working, when we put whiteboards up, when yeah, we, create phoneless desks. How do we know that that's actually adding value? So some of these things that I love the idea of building that data sourcing part in as a priority to everything we're doing.
Yeah.
And we're seeing some very exciting things around Internet of Things with sensors,
yeah,
that are enabling us to look at the workplace more effectively and work out how, in fact, we are building these collaborative spaces, but using data to inform that decision as opposed to what typically has happened in this arena, which is very much about, you know, well, I think it kind of is a good idea. David, do you want to talk? Because you, I know at Dunn State Street, you've got quite a very strategic approach to this.
We do. And first of all, I want to thank the MIT CIO Symposium for inviting me here. Last time I was here, I had a different job. I was managing cybersecurity. And there you're talking about threats and fear. This is a much more pleasant topic to talk about. Seriously, because it's you really can tell a good story about growth and tying in with strategy. And I will talk about our strategy, but before I do, I come to a number of these sessions, and I think the best thing that we can do to you for the audience is talk about principles that have worked for us, but also realize that you have to apply that to your own environment. The Microsoft model is great, but you've got everybody on a campus. Those of us who have offices in 20 countries around the globe, you can't have that physical proximity. And also, Suresh, you know, the model of bringing people together in the three centers, but my question would be, well, what about the people who aren't in those three centers? How are they contributing and how do they feel? So State Street, for those of you not familiar, we're a financial services company. We're based in Boston. We serve institutional investors. And digitization is one of the four strategic tenets. And so this comes from our board, our senior management. We call it the way ahead. It really translates into continued financial, long-term financial growth. And the four tenets are building on our solid core. Number two is digitization of the business. Number three is maintaining a solid capital base. And then the fourth one is pursuing new opportunities. So digitization is right up there as a company with one of our four strategic objectives. That means we're trying to push it down into the DNA of everyone in the company. This is not an IT project. This is not just a business project. It covers legal, risk, compliance, you know, you name it. And it's also built, and this gets back to my first point, it's completely dependent on three things: talent, culture, and innovation. So talent, and this ties in at the senior level of the company. Why are we doing this? Because our board and our senior management look and say, if we could optimize two things. One is data, which has already been touched on. Being a data-centric company, it just makes sense. That is already in our DNA and our expertise. But are we optimizing all of the data that we already have within the organization? And I've yet to find a company, data-centric or otherwise, that's been able to answer that question, yes. And the second is optimizing the talent and the people that we have. Empowering them, giving them the tools that they need to do. So that's the talent part. The culture part is exactly that, creating that environment, giving them the tools. So the things that have already been described are in that vein. We took a different approach, which was that we already knew we had a distributed company and the culture was global. And you do need to deal with cultural differences and time zone differences. So we've built a technology platform, and I'm a technologist, so I have to confess that to begin with. But I think the success of it was less due to the technology than to all of the other things that we did around that, which included the senior management support, because they recognized that if we were going to transform our business, we needed to have this level of collaboration. And we actually call it State Street Collaborate. It is a partnership between the business and IT. And we've heard that, I don't know how many times already today, how important that is. And I'll expand that business-IT partnership a little bit. You need business expertise, you need IT knowledge, you also need some technology, whether it's open source technology or vended technology. And then a very key element, and particularly ties in with that, you need to have process expertise, because a lot of this is looking at end-to-end business processes, in our case, applying lean methodology to move more toward straight-through processing, take things out of the, take manual steps out of it. Clearly, you've got a dependency on IT in order to do that. So it's more like a four-way partnership than a two-way partnership.
So, David, I'm just going to ask you a question on that, because this is something that we're seeing in the research. That I know you're very reliant on an enterprise social network system, which is a number of companies are finding difficult to gain traction from. What we believe might be happening, and I'd be interested in your thoughts, is that that the enterprise social network has a very different role to play in more innovative decision-making types of environments than it does in more process-driven environments. So in the obviously a more collaborative role to play in those innovation spaces, and yet in the more process-driven ways, if you try and use it the same way, you tend to get very little traction. But if you use it for knowledge sharing and embedding information, feeding information through it, then you get a lot more traction. Are you seeing a similar type of